The fourth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph discussing a situation when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, would they blow the shofar? So just by way of background, blowing the shofar, there's no Isser involved. So accordingly, it's blown even when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. However, Chazal were concerned that if it's on Shabbos, people may come to carry the shofar on Shabbos. Accordingly, there was a kriya, a rabbinic decree to not blow the shofar on Shabbos. That is called a shvus, something instituted, a decree instituted by Chazal that we don't come to violate an Isser Doraisa. There's also another clause that says, Ein shvus b'mikdash, that gzeiras of that nature, a gzeira of derabanan of that as a protection, do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So the Mishnah says as follows, Yom Tov Shu Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. If the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, B'Mikdash are you talking? In the Mikdash they used to blow, because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, this institution of Chazal, the concern you may come to carry, doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Avalo B'Medina, but not in the Medina, they would not blow in the Medina. There's a Machlokas in the Rishonim, whether the Medina means just in the Beis HaMikdash that they didn't blow, but outside the Beis, that they blew, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash they did not blow, or does it mean in all of Yerushalayim they used to blow, not only the Beis HaMikdash, but all of Yerushalayim as a whole, but b'Medina, outside Yerushalayim, they did not blow. So that's a machlokas, what Medina means. Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai made a decree, Shiutokim b'chol makom shiyesh bo beis, and he was of the view, and he instituted that you should blow the shofar in all places that there is a Beis Din. It's a machlokas, whether this means only a Beis Din of 23, or even a Beis Din of 3. So that's a machlokas, what that means, that you could blow in any place that there's a Beis Din, even on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lohiskim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ela Biyavna Bilvad. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. What was the decree? What was instituted by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai permitted only that you would blow in Yavna. Yavna was one of the destinations that the Sanhedrin Agadol sat after the destruction, or even before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Once they left the Beis HaMikdash, or Yavna was one of the places that the Sanhedrin Agadol resided. So Rabbi Elazar is saying that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only permitted it to be blown in Yavna, not in other in front of other Batei Din. Amrula, nonetheless, they responded back to them, Echad Yavna ve'echad komakom shiesh bo Beis Din. Not only was it in front of Yavna with the Beis Din of 72, but it was every place that there was a Beis Din, and it's a machlokas again, whether that means a Beis Din of 23 or 3, indeed that was permitted by Baruch Yochanan ben Zakkai. Mishnah basis and continuation of Mishnah Aleph that says, Vodzos Haisa Yerushalayim Yaseira al Yavna. Yerushalayim was in fact superior to Yavna in another sense. What was the first sense? So the Gemara explains to us that one difference based on the prior Mishnah, although not explicit in the prior Mishnah, is that when it came to Yerushalayim, you were permitted to blow the shofar wherever, and even not right in front of the Sanhedrin itself. And when it became to Yavna, it could only be blown right in front of the Sanhedrin, in the presence of the Sanhedrin. So we have another benefit, another advantage of Yerushalayim over Yavna, Shekol Ir, Shehi Ro'ah, that every city around Yerushalayim that could see Yerushalayim, Veshomas, and could hear Yerushalayim, could hear the blowing, Ukrova, and it was within 2,000 Amos, V'yechol Alava, and would be able to come. In other words, the topography would permit it to come. There were no barriers like a river that would prevent people from coming, toking. They also could blow on Rosh Hashanah that fell on Shabbos. Uvayavna lo hayusokim ela bebeisim bava. When it comes to Yavna, you could not blow anywhere except right in front of the Beis Din itself. Mishnah Gimel and thereafter Mishnah Dalet have another four decrees instituted by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. These are follows on to the decree that we saw in Mishnah Aleph of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as it related to Tkiyah Shofar. So the first of the new four is going to relate to the Arba Minim, the Lulav, the Esrog, Hadasim, and Aravos, that is the mitzvah on Sukkot. So there's a pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Gimel that seems to conflict. It says on the one hand, Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon pri Eitz Adar, that we have the mitzvah of the Arba Minim only on the first day of Sukkot, but Thereafter, it says, "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamim," that we have the mitzvah all 7 days, lifnei Hashem Elokechem, when we're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So is it 1 day or 7 days? So in fact, it's both. The 7 days is in the Beis HaMikdash, as it says, lifnei Hashem Elokechem. So if we're in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to bring the Arba Minim each day of Sukkot. However, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, according to another Shita, outside of Yerushalayim, the mitzvah is only B'yom HaRishon on the first day to take the Arba Minim and not thereafter. So our Mishnah accordingly says as follows, Barishona, Haya Halulav Nital B'Mikdash Shiva, like the Din D'Oraisa initially, the Lulav, the Arba Minim, was brought in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days of Sukkot, Uva Medina, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or outside of Yerushalayim, two explanations what that means, Yom Echad, only on the first day, based on the Pasuk, 7 days and 1 day. Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he instituted Shiye Lulav, Nital B'Medina, Shiva Zechel HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that we should take the Lulav all 7 days, not like before, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, that outside of the Mikdash was only 1 day. He instituted Zechel HaMikdash that we should have the mitzvah all Sukkot long, all 7 days, except when it falls on Shabbos, but that's a detail. All 7 days was the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And then another Takana that related to the Chag of Pesach, Vishyehe Yom Hanef Kulo Asur, just a little background to this. There is an Isser of Chadash, eating of the new grains, of the five types of grains, there's a prohibition of Chadash until the Omer offering is brought. So the Korban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th of Nisan, and before that the Chadash was prohibited, this is Nisha Doraisa, and thereafter it was permitted. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Mi'ikar Adin, you don't have to wait at all. You're permitted to have the Chadash, the new grain, immediately in the morning on the 16th of Nisan, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned that Bimei Rabbi Yamenu, the Beis HaMikdash, would be built, and people would forget that they have to wait. The next year, when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, they would have to wait until the Korban HaOmer was brought in order to permit them to eat of the Chadash grains. Accordingly, he said, we're going to wait the entire second day of Pesach that in order to eat the grain. So in other words, you have to wait till the night after the second day of Pesach, which is the beginning of the third day of Pesach. So that's why it says, Vishia Yom HaNef, the day of the waving, because part of the bringing of the Korban HaOmer was waving it in the Beis HaMikdash. So that entire day of the waving of the Korban HaOmer, Kulo also the entire day would be prohibited. You'd have to wait until the night in order to eat the new grains. Mishnah Dalet has the third and fourth decrees of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Barishona, initially, hayu mekablim edus hachodesh kol hayom, they would accept when the Edim came to testify that they saw the new moon, they would accept that testimony all day of the 30th day, and even if they came towards the end of the day, if their testimony was deemed acceptable by the Beis Din would declare that day Rosh Chodesh, and when it happened on Tishrei, they would declare that day not only Rosh Chodesh, that was Rosh Hashanah, even though they came close to the end of the day. But that caused a problem. Pamachas, it happened one time, Shenishtahu Ha'edim Ilavo, the Edim, the witnesses, they delayed in coming until the way end of the day. And what problem that caused is the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to sing at the time of the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar and the Korban Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, the Shir Shal Yom. And until the day was decreed to be Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah, they stuck with the weekday Shir Shal Yom. So Viniskalkalu Halavim Ashir in the afternoon also, not only in the morning, but the afternoon as well, the Korban Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, the Levim, made a mistake because they didn't know it would be Rosh Hashanah, and they sang the regular Shir Shal Yom, or other Mefarshim explained, they sang no Shir Shal Yom, and accordingly, you can't function like that. The Levim were singing, and they sang that it was a Yom Shal Chol, and thereafter, towards the end of the day, the Beis Din said it was really Rosh Hashanah. Accordingly, Hiskinu, there was a Takana of Chazal, Shalo Yehu Mekablim Ela Adamincha, that they would only accept the testimony of the witnesses coming up until Mincha. Once when Mincha happened, they said it is not Rosh Hashanah, and even if witnesses come thereafter on the 30th day and say, we saw last night at the end of the 30th day, at the beginning of the 30th day, at the end of the 29th day, we saw the new moon, it would not be accepted, and accordingly, if they didn't come by the time of Mincha, the Levim would sing the Shir Shel Yom of Kol, a weekday, and not assume that it was Rosh Hashanah for that purpose. V'imbao Eidim mina Mincha Olamala, but if the Eidim did come from the Mincha and thereafter, Noagim also Ayom Kodesh Ulamachar Kodesh, they would still, even though we have said that they would not make that day Rosh Hashanah, it would have to be the next day because the Levim came too late. They came after the Zman of Mincha. Nonetheless, the next day would be Rosh Hashanah, but still, Noagim also Ayom Kodesh. They would keep that day, the day of the 30th, which is not Rosh Hashanah, but because they didn't know it would be Rosh Hashanah or not, they kept the entire day as Kodesh, not doing any Malacha, assuming that it was Rosh Hashanah. And even comes the Zman of Mincha, and it's decided today is not Rosh Hashanah, they have to maintain the Kedusha of the day. Chazal were concerned that if we are not keeping the sanctity of Rosh Hashanah, even on a suffix, even on a doubt, maybe it's Rosh Hashanah, maybe it's not Rosh Hashanah, the next year people would become and mibazalzal. They would start doing malacha regardless on the day of Rosh Hashanah because they didn't know. They would assume it's not Rosh Hashanah, and in fact, maybe it could become Rosh Hashanah when the Edom came. Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, we haven't gotten yet to the decree of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hizkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted Shiye Mekablim Eidus HaChodesh Kol Hayom, that at that point we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have this concern of the Levim singing the wrong Shir Shel Yom. They were permitted to accept the Eidim the entire day and to make that day Rosh Hashanah. But in fact, they still kept the next day as well Rosh Hashanah in that situation. So they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and that is something that we continue today as we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now we're getting to the fourth decree of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha tells us, Va'od zos hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai also instituted another decree, Sha'afilu, Rosh Beis Din b'chol makom, even if the Rosh Beis Din is not at the location of the Beis Din, and as we said previously, it's up to the head of the Beis Din to declare when it is Rosh Chodesh. It's for him to say Mekudosh, and even if he's not in his place, and he would seem to be a fundamental part of declaring Rosh Chodesh as being Rosh Chodesh, even if he's in a different place, and he would be critical for the function, so he would have initially the Eidim go to wherever the Rosh Beis Din was, even if he wasn't at the Beis Din. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai declared Shelo Eidim Holchim Ela Limkom Avad, that the Eidim shall only come specifically to the place where the Beis Din used to meet, that's where they used to assemble, even if the Rosh Av Beis Din is not there, even if the head of the Beis Din is not there, they still go to a place where the Beis Din is, and the Beis Din would make do, even if the head of the Beis Din wasn't there, they themselves, other members of the Beis Din, would be able to declare Rosh Chodesh saying Mekudosh, even in the absence of the Rosh Beis Din. Mishnah Hay takes us back to discussing the halachas of Tkiyas Shofar, and we're going to discuss in particular during the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah when during the Shemona Esrei is the Tkiyas Shofar. So as we know, the Tkiyas Shofar is 3 times during the Shemona Esrei. There are different minhagim. Some do it during the private Amida, the silent Amida. Other minhagim are to do it in the Chazarat HaShatz. We're going to talk about in particular when should the blowing be. Now, to continue, we'll talk about the general structure of the Shemona Esrei during the week and Chagim, and then we'll apply the concepts that we see when we discuss the Mus of Shemona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. So our typical Shemona Esreis start with 3 brachas at the beginning called Avos, Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and end off with Hoda'ah, another 3 at the end, so 3 in the middle, 3 at the end, and 13 Bakashas in the middle. That is during the weekday, during Yontif, during Shabbos, during Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we still stick with the first 3 and the last 3 with certain minor changes, as we'll see, but the first 3 and the last 3 stick, and it's what's in the body of the Shemona Esrei that changes. So on a typical Chag, we would say as follows, the typical Musaf would be the following 7 brachas, since we have the 3 at the beginning, 3 at the end, and 1 in the middle, special for the Chag. So it goes like this. Number 1, as we know, we start off the Shemona Esrei, and the first bracha ends off with Magen Avraham, that's Avos, and the second bracha, is also called Gvuros. It ends off with Mechaye Hamesim. The third bracha, Atakadosh Vishimcha Kadosh, ends off with Akel Hakadosh. And during Yomim Noraim, we basically have the same bracha, but we change that to Hamelech Hakadosh. So those are the first three at the beginning. Those are static. Those are just like at all other times. But we make the change of from Hamelech Hakadosh to Hamelech during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Number four on Yontif is what's different from the rest of the week. In Shabbos, we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. This is also called Kedushas Hayom. So number four is not like number three, which is called Kedushas Hashem. That's number three, Hakel HaKadosh Olam Melech HaKadosh. That's the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number four, which is specific to Yontif that we're talking about now, is called Kedushas Hayom, and it ends off on a typical Yontif with Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. The fifth, sixth, and seventh brachas, they're static throughout the year. So on Yontif and all other times as well, the fifth bracha is Ritzei, starts with Ritzei. It's also called Avoda. Number six is Modim, also called Hoda'a. And we end off, we say Birkas Kohanim. It's called also, as we'll see in our Mishnah, Birkas Kohanim. But it's referring specifically to Sim Shalom. That is the seventh of the bracha. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it gets a little bit more complicated, because as we know, we have the three primary brachos that we insert, Malchuyos, Zichronos, and Shofros. So Malchios is kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zichronos, remembrances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers all of these people, remembers all their deeds, and Shofaros, that's how the way that we are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what was blown at Har Sinai, so we have the Shofaros. So the question is, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we have only nine brachas, so if we take the seven that we have on a normal Chag, and we add a number three, that is 10. Not nine. So the discussion in our Mishnah, everyone agrees that when it comes to Zichronos and Shofaros, those are going to be independent brachas in our Shmona Esrei, and both also agree that Malchios is not an independent bracha, but the Machlokes we're going to see is Malchios included in Kedushas Hashem in bracha number three, or is it included together with Kedushas Hayom, bracha number four? So we're going to include Malchios with one of the existing seven brachas of a normal Yontif. The question is, with which one, number three or number four? So the Mishnah starts out as follows, Seder brachos, the Seder, the order of the brachos on the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is as follows, Omer Avos, that's our bracha number one that we say all year round. And number two, Ugvuros, that's Mechaye Mesim, that is number two all year round. And next, number three is a Kedushas Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that's HaMelech HaKadosh. Other times it's HaKel HaKadosh, but that is Kedushas Hashem. And the first Tana, the Tana Kama says, V'kolel Malchios Imayim. And the first of the three special brachas for Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, we include together in bracha number three with HaMelech HaKadosh, Ve'eino Tokei, and there's no Tekiyas HaShofar on that combined bracha. So in other words, Malchios has no Tkiyas HaShofar. This obviously sounds very strange for us, because so we're so used to blowing the shofar at three different times during either the silent Shmona Esrei or the Chazarat HaShatz, and that is for Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofar. So the Tana Kama of our Mishnah is of the view that Malchios is included with bracha number three, HaMelech HaKadosh, and there is no shofar blowing. And then we have bracha number four, Kedushas Hayom, and Visokea. And on bracha number four, we have Tkiyas HaShofar, and also on number five and six, we have also Tkiyas HaShofar for Zichronos. So we said Kedushas Hayom as Tkiyas HaShofar, and then Zichronos as Visokea, and then Shofaros Visokea. So those are the three that have Tkiyas HaShofar. And then we get to the last three, just like all year round, Ve'omer Avoda. That is these are the last three, the typical last three. Vahodah, that's Modim, Ubirkas Kohanim, that's Sim Shalom, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who is of the view that that is the structure. We have nine brachas, but he's of the view that Malchios gets inserted into bracha number three, HaMelech HaKadosh. Amalo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responds, he disagrees on that one specific point. Where do we insert Malchios? Otherwise, he agrees with everything else. Imeino Tokel Malchios. If you're not going to have Tkiyas HaShofar, for the bracha of Malchus, lama hu maskir? Why are you bothering having 10 different psukim for Malchus, making it just like Zichronos and Shofros, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, that all three of them have 10 psukim, but Rabbi Akiva is saying that if only Zichronos and Shofros have Tkias HaShofar, they have the 10 psukim, but Malchus is simply being inserted into the bracha of Kedushas Hashem, and you're not having any Tkias HaShofar on it, why are you bothering having 10 full psukim for Malchus? Ella, but rather, says Rabbi Akiva, I have a different take on this. Ella, Omer, Ava, Sugvura, Sukedusha, Shashem. We have the three first brachas, number one, number two, number three, and the Kedusha, Shashem. You do not insert Malchios into it, but rather, Vakola, Malchios, Im, Kedusha, Sayom. You insert Malchios into Kedusha, Sayom, which is bracha number four, and then Visokeas, so you have a Tkiah Shofar on the Malchus is bracha number four, Zichronos is bracha number five, Visokea, Shofaros is bracha number six, Visokea. So here, according to that, we have the Tkias Shofar on each of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros. That is how we are indeed Noeg. And then the Omer, Avoda, Vahoda, Birkas Kohanim. And then we have the last three brachas all together at the end of the Shemona Esrei, as we do all year round. Mishnah Vav, Ein Pochasin Ma'asara Malchios, Ma'asara Zichronos, Ma'asara Shofaros. We do not say fewer than 10 psukim in each of the three brachas of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. So Chazal, in fact, as we know in the Nusach of our Tefillah, Chazal chose for us 10 psukim in each of those categories relating to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Imamar Shalosh Shalosh Mekulan Yatzah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that if you didn't say the full 10, as long as you said a minimum of 3 for each, you are Yotze Bidyevin. In other words, the Chathchila, you shouldn't be saying the 10, but if you didn't say 10, you only said 3, that would be sufficient, 3 in each of them. Ein maskirin zikaron, malchus v'shofar shalpuranus, when saying the psukim, we should not be saying psukim in any of those three categories that relate to Puranos, punishment of Klal Yisrael, the anger of Hashem towards Bnei Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah, we should be optimistic and only mention the positive psukim, not anything negative. Maschil b'Torah, whom mashlim b'navi, the order that Chazal instituted, and indeed this is our minog, as we start out by referring to psukim from the Torah. We have three psukim from the Torah, and then we have three from ksuvim, and then according to this shita, we would complete it with four psukim of the Nevim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im hishlim b'Torah yatsa. Literally, Rabbi Yossi says, if you complete it, if you said the 10th one from the Torah, not from Navi, you would be Yotze, so that would mean three of Torah, three of Ksuvim, three of Nevim, and one of Torah going back to the Torah. That would be Bidyevet, okay, but the Gemara tells us that that is not the proper text of Rabbi Yossi. The text should be as follows, that Rabbi Yossi says that indeed we should be completing the 10 psukim back with the pasuk of Torah. This is indeed our minhag, that we should be saying three of Torah, three of Ksuvim, three of Nevim, and back to one of Torah. However, the text would say, if you ended off not with Torah as the 10th pasuk in each of the three categories, but you ended off with Navi, like the prior Tana said, that would also be acceptable. Now, an interesting question is, why do we go in the order of Torah, Ksuvim, and Nevim? It's Tanakh, Torah, Nevim, Ksuvim. Why do we switch the order of Nevim, Ksuvim? So, in fact, the primary answer is because if you look chronologically, the Ksuvim, or many parts of the Ksuvim, very significant parts of the Ksuvim, were written historically before that of Nevi'im. So, for example, Tehillim and Mishle Iyov, written by David and Shlomo and others, that was all written before the Nevi'im. Accordingly, it is put in chronological order with Torah coming first, obviously, then Ksuvim, and then Nevi'im thereafter. Mishnah Zayin tells us what we saw already. Havover lifnei ateva b'yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. When somebody comes and he is the chazan on Rosh Hashanah, and as we typically do today, and as was done historically, Shachris is davened by one person, and then a divin shalech tzibur takes over for Musaf. When it comes to the tkias shofar, hasheni maskia, it's the second one, not literally the second chazan that blows shofar. It doesn't say hasheni tokeya, but hasheni maskia. It's during the Musaf that the shofar is blown. We typically don't have the bal tokeya be the same as the chazan. Oftentimes we divide it up, unless the chazan is fairly certain that he can pull off both without getting confused, then he could do both of the tasks of being the chazan and also blowing the shofar, but it's typically divided up between two people. So that is when it comes to the blowing of the shofar, it's done. And most of the time, historically, it was actually done at shachris, because it's rizim akdim in the mitzvahs. When you have a mitzvah to do, you do it as quickly as possible. But for various historical reasons, it was pushed to have the kiyas shofar during musaf. In contrast, on other chagim, not on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we don't have challah, but other chagim, when we do have challah, mishasa halal, on those times that we are saying halal, harishon makres a halal, it's going to be the first chazan. In other words, the chazan who daven shachris, it's going to be him who says the halal, which is right after the repetition of the Shemona Esrei. We do not have the halal in the musaf, and that again is because of zrizi makdim in the mitzvahs. When you have that special mitzvah to do, or any mitzvah to do, it should be done with alacrity. Mishnah Ches teaches us that we're not permitted to violate any prohibition, be it an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan, which would enable us to do the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. In other words, we would have to forego doing the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar if it would require us, in order, for example, to get the shofar, or for us to get to the shofar, we would have to violate an Isser D'Rabbanan or a D'Oraisa. So we are talking in particular about when Rosh Hashanah does not fall on Shabbos, because when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we're not blowing anyway. Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to the Shofar Rosh Hashanah, in Ma'avirin Alav Esatchum, in order to get it, we're not allowed to go out of the Tchum. For example, in the city, there's no shofar, and that one shofar is more than 2,000 amos outside of the city limit, so it's outside the Tchum. Or a similar case would be if somebody lives, and in order for him to come to the city, he'd have to go outside of his tchum. That's not permitted. We have to forego doing the mitzvah and not violate the isra of tchum. Bein mefakhim alav es hagal. Also, if that one shofar that we have is under a pile of rubble, we would not be permitted to remove that pile because it is muks, only an isra d'rabbanan. But still, we cannot violate an isra to enable us to do the mitzvah of shofar. Lo olim ba'ilam. We can't climb up a tree. Not climbing a tree is an isra d'rabbanan. Climbing a tree is an Isser D'Rabbanan. Chazal were concerned we may violate this Isser D'Oraisa of tearing off a branch. So if that shofar is up in the tree, we cannot go up and get it. V'lo rochvin al galbei behema. And we're also not permitted to ride on a behema in order to either get us to that shofar because it's far away, or for a person who's sick, unable to come to shul, even within the city, in order for him to or her to come to shul and listen to the shofar, it's not permitted to ride an animal. Riding an animal is an Isser D'Rabbanan because Chazal had the concern we may tear off a branch in order to whip that animal to move quicker. V'lo shatin al pnei ha-mayim. We also cannot travel on the water. We cannot take a canoe. We cannot take a boat on the water in order to bring the shofar, or either to get to the shofar. Chazal were concerned that we may violate the Isser D'Oraisa of building a raft. So accordingly, it's prohibited to be traveling on water in a vehicle of that nature. Also, it's not permitted to cut. We need to form that shofar. We need to make changes on it. So we need to cut it. It's not permitted to cut it with something that would violate a shvus, which is an Isser D'Rabbanan. For example, the different explanations of this in the Mefarshim. Well, just to choose the simplest, you can't cut it with a knife. A knife is not the normal way you would cut a shofar. You use that for your dinner, not for cutting a shofar. So that's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, a shvus, because you're doing it b'shinoi, in it with an unusual way. Ubein b'davar shum mishum lota, saying also you can't cut the shofar. Certainly, if you're going to violate an Isser D'Oraisa, for example, cutting with a saw, which would be the normal way to cut a shofar. Aval imratza litan l'socha mayim o yayin yitan. But if you simply want to put in water or to put in wine, you want to clean out the shofar so it has a little bit better of a call, a bit better of a voice to it, then it would be permitted because you're not making an intrinsic change to the shofar, and also it was usable before and it's usable now. You're simply improving it a little bit, so that would be permitted. In ma'akvin esatinokas milizkoa, there's a machlokas as to what is this talking about. Is it talking about when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos that we don't blow, or is it talking about non-Rosh Hashanah but a regular Shabbos? So the Mefarshim discuss what's talking about here. We'll go with the simple explanation that is talking about Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos. So we're not permitted to do the mitzvah because we're concerned, Chazal instituted, we're concerned we may carry that shofar for Amos in Rishus HaRabim, Kazet Shabbos, we're not permitted to carry it. But nonetheless, we do not have to prevent children who are blowing on Rosh Hashanah from blowing. It's a machlokis, what age is it? It's a tinok, that is higiel echinoch, it's lo higiel echinoch. But it's saying here that we don't have to stop them from blowing, and in fact, aval misaskin imahen ad shilmadu, and in fact, we can be involved with them, even though it's Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, so meikar din, we could blow on it, just Chazal instituted adults don't, but if we have a child, we can even coach him in how to blow properly. Part of chinuch, we could educate him, but we ourselves are not permitted to blow. V'amis asek, a different statement here, that if we're talking about somebody who is of the age above bar mitzvah, so he is chayev in the mitzvah, but we need some sort of intent to do the mitzvah, intent to be mekayim in the mitzvah, intent to do the mitzvah. But if somebody is blowing for another reason, for example, he's blowing the shofar just to learn. He's blowing the shofar to wake somebody up, but he doesn't have in mind that he's blowing in order to do the mitzvah. Lo yatza, you're not fulfilling it. You were blowing for a different purpose, not even a plain purpose, just blowing. You had a different purpose for blowing the shofar, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. And in fact, and somebody who's listening, even if that person is having kavanah to be yotze, but the person blowing doesn't have the proper requisite intent that I'm blowing for a mitzvah, but he's blowing for some other purpose, even the person who's listening in who does have the requisite intent, lo yatzu, would not fulfill the mitzvah. We need both the blower and the listener to have some sort of the proper intent necessary to fulfill the mitzvah. Mishnah test gets us to the final Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah and discusses the absolutely critical conversation of how many times do we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So by way of background, in the Chumash in the Torah, it discusses Rosh Hashanah's Yom Truah, a day of blowing the shofar, but it says specifically Truah. In fact, referring to Rosh Hashanah, it says Truah twice, and when it comes to Yovel, where we also blow the shofar, it also says the word Truah, and we learn Yovel to Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah to Yovel, that we are blowing three times. So that's why it says Seder Tekiyo Shalos. We have the three times that we blow. That's why we blow three sets. For example, Malchuyos, Zichronos, and Shofros. We'll expand this in a little bit at the end, but let's go with that right now. So we're blowing three times, and how many blows in each of them? So the Torah tells us that we just said Truah. So we have three Truahs, one for Malchios, one for Zichronos, and one for Shofros. And based on another pasuk, each time we blow the Truah, we need a Tekiyah before it and a Tekiyah afterward. In other words, we're going to be blowing sets of Tekiyah, Truah, Tekiyah, and we're going to do that three times. One time for Malchios, one time for Zichronos, one time for Shofros. So it's three times three is equal to nine. So Seder, Tekiyos, Shalos, we blow three sets, Shal, Shalos, Shalosh, and each of them is of three. In other words, a total of nine kolos on Rosh Hashanah. That's it. And it's both a Tekiyah and a Truah. That's it. Now, we're going to read the Hemshach, the continuation of this Mishnah, how we paskin, how we are noheg lalacha, and not how the Bartanur and other Meforshim explain this Mishnah. So the Shiur Tekiyah, the length of each Tekiyah, Kishalosh Truas, is the length of three Truas. So in other words, when we have the Truas, which are shorter, the length of the Tekiyah should be equal to the length of three Truas combined, and Shiur Truah, and the length of each of the Truas, Kishalosh Yevavos, should be the length of very short whimpers. So we have three yevavos for each truah, and we have three truahs for each tekiyah. That is how we are, in fact, noheg. Now, an important point here, we just said that we blow only nine times on a deraisa level. So how did we get to 100 times? So in fact, there's a suffix in halacha when we say tekiyah, truah, tekiyah. What is a truah? Is the truah, is that our typical truah, that we have three shorter blasts, but not really quick blasts? Is it our shvarim, that they're incredibly quick blasts? We have nine of those. Or is it a combination of the shvarim and the truah, which represents the way somebody would cry, sighing initially and sobbing quickly thereafter? So it's a suffix in halacha, what is the truah? And accordingly, we do all three of those. What we do is, we do a tekiyah, and we do a shvarim truah and a tekiyah. So that's four blasts. And then we do a tekiyah, shvarim, tkiya, that's another three, and we do a tkiya, trua tkiya, another three. So the four of tashrat, and the three of tashat, and the three of tarat is a total of 10, and we do that three times. So in other words, that's 30 times. Now, in fact, we expanded upon that. That would be the mi'ikar adin. We do those sats, tashrat, tashat, tarat, for each of malchios and zichronos and shofros. So that's 30 in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, either the science Shmona Esrei, the repetition of the Shmona Esrei Musaf. But also, we blow another 30 before starting the Shmona Esrei, which is called the tkios miyushav, literally the sitting tkios, because mi'ikar adin, you're allowed to sit. We blow those before Musaf starts. And we also do it another 30 during the Musaf itself. So that's a total of 60. Now the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tazayin Amud Beis, asks, why do we blow both before and afterward? Lama Toki Mimari and Kishen Yoshuin, why do we do it before Musaf? And also we'd repeat another 30 blasts during the Musaf. And it says the famous answer, K'teila Arbrev HaSatan, to confuse the Satan, that we're doing it twice. He thinks that it's a chiyuv before, and we do it again, and different explanations of what that means, to confuse the Satan. And in the end of the day, we also blow another 40 after the completion of the Chazaras HaShatz, for a total of Mea Kolos, different explanations, primary being to reflect the 10 cry, the 100 cries of the mother of Sisra. So that's how we get to 100, even though on a Deoraisa level, only 9 is what is required. Now continuing, Taka B'Rishona, this is talking about if we have a set. We have, for example, Tkia, Trua, and Tkia. And you blew a normal Tkia at the beginning there, because we have three kolos to do, Tkia, Trua, Tkia. The first one was normal. And then Umashach B'Shnia Kishnaim. And the second, when you wrote, the second time we did Tkia in that set, in other words, we have Tkia, Trua, Tkia. That second tkiah of that first set we're blowing, we went extra long, that it could be the length of two tkiahs. And what we're trying to do is we want to blow the first tkiah for the second set afterward at the same time. So without taking a break, that last tkiah of the first set we're extending, and we'll count that as the first tkiah of the second set. Ein biyado el achas, you have only blown one tkiah. You can't count the second tkiah. You can't count one tkiah, even if it's extra long, for both a end of the first set and the beginning of the second set. You need separate kolos. Continuing, Misha Berach, somebody who davened Musaf and did not have a shofar. So you didn't blow the shofar, but you said the whole Musaf, Acharkach Nisman Alo Shofar, and afterward you got a shofar. Somebody, for example, Alecha L'maisa, somebody who's elderly, not well, unable to go to shul, so they daven at home, and then thereafter, after davening, the Baal Tokeya comes and blows for them. So they davened already, and then they have the shofar. So what do you do then? Do you have to daven again and have the shofar blowing together with the malchios, yichonos, and shofar? So the Mishnah says, no, these are independent. Meaning if you davened already, and then you get the shofar, tokeya, umeiriya, v'tokeya, sholosh pamim, all you need to do is blow tkiya, trua tkiya, and do it three times for the 9 kolos, the 9 different blasts that are required on a deoraisa level. And now to complete the Masechta, we go on to a somewhat unrelated topic we've seen before. This was actually in the third parak that we discussed about somebody being motzi, somebody else. That's the concept of kiyah shofar, that somebody blows for somebody else, and they should each have a certain level of intent to be fulfilled the mitzvah, that somebody is blowing for somebody else. So how do we apply these concepts to somebody saying Shmona Esrei? So the Mishnah says, Kishem Shishaleach Tzibur Chayav, this is the first opinion, just like a Shaleach Tzibur is obligated to say a Shmona Esrei for himself. In other words, he has an obligation to say Shmona Esrei, the silent Shmona Esrei is the Shaleach Tzibur, and then he has the Chazarat HaShatz. So too, Kach Kol Yachid V'Yachid Chayav, so too each individual in the shul, as long as he knows how to daven the Shmona Esrei, he is independently obligated to say his own Shmona Esrei, and he cannot simply listen to the repetition of the Shmona Esrei and say, I'm going to fulfill that way, via the Shaleach Tzibur, because he knew how to say the Shmona Esrei as an independent obligation to say his own Shmona Esrei. The Chazar HaShatz would be effective for somebody who doesn't know how to say the Shmona Esrei. That person can be Yotzei via the Shaleach Tzibur, but otherwise somebody who knows how to say the Shmona Esrei has to say it independently by himself. Rabbi Gamliel Omar, he disagrees. Shaleach Tzibur motzi es rabbi midei chovason. The Shaleach Tzibur can indeed, even if people who are listening, they know how to say their own Shmona Esrei, they have the capability to do that. Nonetheless, the Chazarat Hashatz can be effective if somebody pays attention. He can fulfill the mitzvah of and his obligation of saying the Shemoneh Esrei, even if he knows how to daven by himself, simply by listening to the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, having a mind, saying Amen, etc. But he wouldn't, based on Rabbi Gamliel, have to say his own independent Shemoneh Esrei. Indeed, we paskin that somebody who knows how to say the Shemoneh Esrei has to say his own Shemoneh Esrei.